You don't like it? Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to Perfect Flex Talk Radio Uncut. This is the WWE Battleground Post Show. And tonight I am joined by Soph. What's going on, Soph? Welcome to the program, brother.
Hey, yo, what's up?
What's going on, man? You know, I make this for 45 minutes, but I don't think we need to go 45 minutes to talk about the show, especially since it seems like it's just going to be you and I. But Soph, really quick, man, let me just give you my quick synopsis as a whole, and then we'll dig in a little bit deeper later on. I didn't think it was a bad show, man. I'll be honest with you. There were some parts of the show, like in the middle of it. For example, when they had the Natalya versus Becky Lynch match and the Miz versus Darren Young, where we heard like a pin drop, could have heard a pin drop. But other than that, I think the beginning of the show and towards the end of the show were pretty hot. What you think, man? Overall synopsis, and then we'll get into the card a little bit deeper, man.
Yeah, WWE has a bad habit sometimes. It's like a curse they have where some of their shows that they don't build up that well tend to have the best in-ring, and then the shows that they build up that everyone looks forward to have average to lackluster in-ring. And I know today a lot of folks weren't even aware there was a show tonight, and the folks that did know there was a show were kind of like, it wasn't really a priority, but they went ahead and watched anyway, and they enjoyed themselves. So it's just kind of a curse, sort of. It's like those students that do well on a pop quiz but get like a C- on a test when it matters. That's just WWE sometimes. But yeah, the show today was good.
And Mike, welcome back to Face That Run the Place of BDSIR Networks. I know you're in bed right now. I appreciate you joining, man. What's going on?
Well, you know, I got out of bed when the final match happened, and you know me, thanks for the introduction. You know, I am the CEO of the network, but without the fans, the network wouldn't exist. Wow, we're almost over close to 4 million listens in 8 years on this radio station. It's really beyond exciting to hear numbers like that, but I could not have a show go when there's shows like it is tonight, when it's the split feeling amongst fans. So I really felt the need to come on tonight because I've seen polls all over, and it's Twitter, it's the worldwide interweb. People get mad. It's not the Republican Party, it's not the Democrat Party, it's not Black Lives Matter, it's not Black Twitter, it's not white supremacists that run social media, it's wrestling fans. Okay, so when wrestling's on, there's nothing that tweets or gets more exposure than that. And with that being said, I'm sorry, this show was a complete 9 out of 10. in my opinion. You take minus the Miz and Darren Young part that was there, and I even recap and say, go back a little bit, maybe that whole half an hour, 40 minutes, where you had the match between Natalya and Becky Lynch, the last kicker. But even that match was actually a good match. You know what I mean? But it has no significance because there's no title involved in it. It's on SmackDown. So I thought the match was pointless. This hits why I get to 9 out of 10. And, you know, we don't do belts. So if I can get it to my favorite title of all time, it's a television title. I give it out the way very early in this conversation. 4 out of 5 WWE or NWA tag team. I'm sorry. I'm really sleepy. TV championship. I love this pay-per-view. It's everything I've ever asked for in a pay-per-view, and that gives me wrestling and give me storylines that make sense to what you were leading me up to watching. And so I had to come on here and express those feelings, Taco.
Well, I'm glad that you did, man. I know, and I know you worked very hard, but I know we were going in and out on the chat and also on Twitter. I'm talking about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and I remember on Soul and Sports, I said a couple of days ago that I thought he was bland. So if I said that he was bland, I think that Sami Zayn has the most boring personality. However, I never said that he was a bad in-ring worker. And then Mike came out and tweeted me, and he said, "And well,
no,
at Real Hugo Reyna was."
I didn't tweet you.
Oh, was that?
Of course, tweeted you.
Okay, whoever it was, I'm sorry. You know,
we have people that run our social media. Okay, we have our own
place.
Like anybody that you know steps up on the you know like the Undertaker's dong, you know, not his slong, you know, but his velvet rings, and they tweeted you. And I thought it was very funny because. You know, again, this will always talk about King Von Jr. 720 on Twitter when he tweets things out. You got to give the number and the link because people don't know our conversation. They're like, huh? What are you talking about? And good thing you explained yourself that.
Yeah, 347-637-3859 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation of WWE Battleground. But anyway, you know, compare and contrast from what we saw last week with the WWE draft where we all came on here on the post show and we were all really underwhelmed. However, this time around, and again, ladies and gentlemen, it is late. It's 11:37, so we really I can't afford to be all, all chirpy and loud like we normally are. Really did think it was – I thought it was a great, great pay-per-view from the beginning match. I thought – the debut of Bayley, by the way, who I believe it was you that called it, Mike. You said it on Friday on the Soul and Sports. I believe it was you that called
well,
that Bayley was
take.
Coming up to the roster.
I'm not going to take that. I actually, when I mentioned it, I should have gave credit to where I heard it from, which was Dave Metzger. Am I saying his name right?
Okay.
That actually reported that he also got some other things out there. I won't spoil that he's predicting it's going to happen going towards SmackDown. If you already saw the hashtag, the dirt sheets that are out there of two former guys coming back, you know, believe it. I kind of actually believe that rumor is going around as well. But I heard this. But what I thought was funny, Toph, was JBL kept referring that his sources say she's not staying there. So I like to see what happens there. Even if she goes to SmackDown, I think she can help SmackDown's women division, even without a title there. Without Bayley on SmackDown, SmackDown's women division is very pointless. But I wanted.
I believe that's cool.
And I thought it would shock the world if she'd have turned to join the Four Horsewomen and start that with just start a whole different kind of version of them and have her on there. I know that it's because I think she is the female version of John Cena. I think she can have that appeal as far as marketing is concerned. You know what I mean? So I figure you get it out the way early and turn her. You know what I mean? But I think Bayley, you know, she has a very bright future ahead of her, in my opinion.
I think Toph, and I let you get in on this. I think you were the one that called it at. Well, I believe you put it on our other chat that you said that you heard that it was only a one-time thing that JBL said. Is that what I heard from you?
Oh, well, we don't know right now. All we know is that she was just working tonight. So we don't know if this considers a call-up or not. We'll just have to see. They kind of booked themselves into a corner, sort of. If this was a main roster debut, that's fine. But that means she's going to fight Asuka again and lose again, which would be kind of weird. But, I mean, whatever. So I think most folks would agree she needs to be on the main roster anyway. I'm in the same camp as Knox. I think she should be on SmackDown to balance it out. Having three of the four horsewomen on Raw and one on SmackDown would seem a little weird, but we'll just got to see what happens, I guess.
my question to you guys is if let's say she does debut and this was her debut and she debuts on SmackDown, what does that come of the Divas, excuse me, the women's title? The Divas title is now no more. I mean, and one thing that I couldn't take away from this pay-per-view as a whole, obviously there was no new champions. Everything stayed the way it's supposed to be. Spoiler alert, because we haven't talked about Dean Ambrose and the Shield match. But it almost seems, though, Toph, that maybe they are going to go with the one champion of both shows type of deal, man.
That's fine. I mean, they just made the women's title, so from a marketing standpoint, that would be a bad decision. And to make a second women's title would kind of contradict the whole point that they've been doing. I don't know what they're going to do with the tag team thing. They do need to make new tag titles. Those bronze belts are really, really ugly.
They're not ugly. I love them. And my wife, every time she sees them,
they're pretty ugly.
I don't care what you guys say. I love Roman Greek mythology, and if you look at those belts close enough, that's exactly what they reminisce. It's like watching Trojan titles. I love them. I don't know why everybody hates them so much. Y'all are entitled to your opinion, but I also think once everybody gets on one roller coaster, everybody likes to go on the same ride.
You don't really see fans bragging about those belts. There's a reason for that.
Exactly. And if you really look at those belts, they really don't fit in to what they're trying to market. I mean, look at the WWE World Heavyweight title or the WWE Championship. Look at the Intercontinental title. Look at the U.S. title. This has absolutely nothing to do with the pattern that they're trying to go with.
No, what do you mean by pattern? None of them match each other. I don't get that. None of them match each other.
You just said they all go together.
They don't go together. None of those belts go together.
I just wanted to talk about something that really caught me off guard. Ordinarily, I don't really pay attention to the pre-show. So, you know, I knew that Breezango was working the Usos. So, you know, it's like pre-show, whatever. And I saw the match. I was very surprised because the fans were actually really into Breezango. And when I saw the match, I had to make sure, like, where Battleground was tonight because they were in D.C., and I was like, D.C., they're not really a smart crowd. They're pretty casual overall. But they were into Breezango, and I was very surprised at the Usos because they weren't booed heavily, but the boos were definitely noticeable. Now, me personally, I'm a big fan of Tyler Breeze and Fandango, and I think they can both do just fine as singles. But sometimes you got to go back to that New Age Outlaw thing, you know, at the time. You know, 97, 98, there was just so much going on in wrestling that individually, you know, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, they weren't going to go far. So as a team, they helped elevate each other. So I guess that's kind of what Fandango and Tyler Breeze are doing right now. They seem to be getting a small but vocal following. It's very gradual. So I'm not saying they're going to be tag team champions or anything, but I was very surprised that the fans were cheering them over the Usos. Like, you know, we've seen the Usos get booed when they were, you know, going up against, like, say, for instance, the New Day or Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, but like Breezango is just this random tag team that hasn't even been around for a few months, and I was just very shocked. And so now that the Usos are on SmackDown and now that American Alpha is also going to be on SmackDown, I don't see the boos for the Usos stopping anytime soon, because if the Usos fight Alphas at, like, say, SummerSlam or something like that, they're going to get booed out the building. So anyway, to kind of end this rant, I think it's time not just for Roman but the Usos, all these Samoan dudes, just turn them all heel, man. Turn them all heel. Make them a faction. I don't care. But you got to change it up, man, because it's not working right now.
Well, I said today in a tweet that if say someone like Paul Heyman, which, you know, it's very far-fetched, but if like Paul Heyman was to get behind him and shut them up. See, my wife said, well, how come they're still on pre-show matches? I said, well, babe, to be honest with you, it's kind of their fault. You know what I mean? It's like their fault, but to a fault also, because he got hurt twice. On two big pushes, Jay got hurt. You know what I mean? And then from there, they also didn't elevate their storytelling at all. You know, they didn't get better at what they wasn't good at. And WWE has a very short leash on guys not being better on the microphone, or, you know, the word that we use now in wrestling world is organic when they speak on the microphone. So I said, you got to, like you just said, maybe not, you know, turn them heel. I don't think you're going to put the three together like we kind of all wish and kind of hope you bring back a Samoan SWAT team kind of thing, especially with Roman on one show and them on another show. But you put them with a manager, a really dope manager that people can respect, and keep them quiet, they can revamp their careers. If you keep them the way they are, you're absolutely right. But there was a lot of people that today, as Fox Sports was represented out there, I had to give up my tickets after I had floor seats, had to give them up. And the report I got back there, those booths were very much souring in that crowd. And some of you did say, you said D.C.'s not typically that kind of crowd. And I may get a lot of trouble for this, but I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't say this. And that's just being honest. The last few shows there, and I'm in a few DMV wrestling groups, they're that way more than you think they are. They're turning the knot to kind of being like, quote-unquote, New York has been in the past and Chicago and things like that recently. And it's kind of disappointing, to be completely honest with you.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and continue on with the remaining of the card. The Wyatt Family versus the New Day. When we actually did our Lock It Up on Friday, we all went unanimous decision on the Wyatt Family. I mean, obviously, this and I thought about it, Mike, you know, after I gave my pick on Friday and when I was watching the match today, I thought that now we were going to see a tag team title match overcoming at SummerSlam, but they're on totally different brands. So I think this feud is done and dusted, and it makes sense for the Wyatt Family to be over.
Everybody kept saying that feud's not done. Only one part of the Wyatts. Oh, okay. It's the Wyatts are on SmackDown, the two of the three, and then
right.
John Cass
and
Braun right.
Strowman
right.
is on Raw.
Right, right.
But I think,
well,
but I think. Yeah, let me finish off really quick, Mike. I honestly do feel that the Wyatt Family were the correct team to come out and actually be, you know, and finish this off. Reason being is because now it still makes the New Day look strong since they still have the tag team titles, and finally you can showcase the Wyatt Family and elevate them a little bit further after defeating, you know, who is probably the hottest product right now in the WWE, which is the New Day.
What I was going to say was, With everything that's going on with that whole dimension of them, I'm not sure. I'm trying to catch my point back because I had it and you lost it. And I'm tired. I drove 600 miles today.
Sorry, man.
it's fine. As I told Wally, if I couldn't remember, my grandma said it's not important, right? So, but as I'm still sort of stall here a little bit, but I'm not, you know, as far as that, what I was going to say, I was going to say this on Tuesday's show. I still reserve the right, because we're wrestling fans. This is all we do. We reserve the right to always hope. That's why I call us all crackheads and fiends to wrestling. No matter what, we can go to rehab all you want to for wrestling, but you're still hoping for something great to happen. And we still don't know what's going on with the two brands. If yes, the draft was a very big letdown, like completely we all wore defense that day, and we sat there and we just shit our pants watching this draft unfold. But if they do cross-promote and do things between the two shows and do what they quote-unquote said they were going to do by pushing the needle, then it can still work, and it may not be the end of the rivalry. At least I hope not, because it's really been good, and although it seems to have a conclusion, I like to see it continue, because I said this to my wife, and everybody says that Xavier Woods would be the odd man out of the three. I've come to my senses after watching him at Comic-Con. I think he's the only one that can survive by himself, to be completely honest. Xavier Woods is bigger than the WWE. That guy has a
picture
in front of him.
I don't know about all that, but he's very talented.
Welcome to the program, KME. You know, you're talking WWE Battleground. I know that you didn't get to catch the pay-per-view, but we're talking about right now the Wyatt Family versus the New Day. I was telling Mike that I think that the right team won. Basically, the reason being is because it still makes the New Day with the tag team title, so they could still go on and continue. And then the Wyatt Family could go into different pastures. Mike disagrees with me, and I think he believes that this rivalry isn't over with. But, Mike, you just brought something to my attention.
Here's the thing, though.
We haven't forgotten. We forgot that Luke Harper's still out and about, so he could still be coming in into SmackDown, and the Wyatt Family.
Well, he was in the locker room. He was in the locker room.
Okay.
At the guys, they were backstage. He was back here.
Did you see where he was at?
It looked like it appeared that he was on SmackDown, and the SmackDown was my son pointed it out. So I thought that was pretty key.
Okay.
My son said, "There go Harper. Why is he in the locker room?" So take that
because
that's where he was sitting.
Right, because I was just thinking right now that this could be that they could break away Braun Strowman to, you know, repackage him and make him something else on Raw and still keep the Wyatt family strong on SmackDown. KME, man, welcome to the program, like I said. Talking Bray Wyatt, excuse me, with the Wyatt family versus the New Day.
Oh, yeah. They as long as they can make money with the New Day, they got to keep the belts on them. It's like they're making a ton of money off those guys, astronomical amounts of money selling like the most ridiculous merchandise on the planet. So I think they're going to let them go for, maybe till the end of the year, and then, they will they'll break them up. Go ahead and have him break Demolition's record. I don't see what it's going to hurt. Because they've already broke Kendrick's record. So now all they need to break is Demolition's record with the old tag titles, with the old lineage. So, yeah, well, I don't see the problem.
All right. Let's continue on, guys, because we have, we're a little time sensitive. I know Mike is tired. I'm tired. KME, I know you just got doing what you had to do, and it's already 12 o'clock here on the East Coast. But the match after that was the United States Championship match, Zack Ryder versus Rusev. I believe I was the only one, Mike, on Friday's show that I called for Zack Ryder to beat Rusev, but apparently that wasn't the case. You were right all along. Like you said, woo, you still suck.
Look what it came out of. He looked stupid coming out in that
He kind of looked like the macho. He tried to look like the macho man, though.
Hey, well, he's dating Emma, so he still wins in life.
He still wins in life. Ah, match was fairly short.
I've had hotter chicks than Emma.
Hey, man, she's a hot Australian
short
chick that can cook. That's a win-win to me.
Yeah, she is hot. I'm just hating on Zack Ryder. Part of my
No, wait. Thank you for bringing that up, man. Wait, no, the highlight of the show was when Mojo came out and Rusev just gave him like that who's this jobber look. I thought Rusev should have just beat him down right there. Rusev just beat him down. I would have been his number one fan right there. That was like the most cold debut I've seen.
And with absolutely no, I don't think he didn't get a huge pop though, did he? Did he, Toph? I mean, I didn't hear it.
I'm sorry, man. I refuse to let that go. I understand NXT keeping Nakamura, keeping Aries, keeping Rue, keeping Joe, but you're going to draft Mojo over Ty Dillinger? Horrific choice. Horrific. I'm sorry. I'm not letting that go.
Nor should you have to.
All right. I mean, there's nothing really else that we really can say about this match, guys. We know that Mojo Rawlins did make his debut. Mojo and Zack Ryder are looking to team up over on the SmackDown brand. Rusev will continue on to the Raw brand. After this match was obviously the match of the night, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. What a fantastic fight! It went for roughly about 30 minutes, but it was backwards and forwards. The fans were on their feet. Sammy looked like he could have busted his ass, guys, a bunch of times. I thought that there was one suplex that he did on Kevin Owens right into the middle of the apron. I thought that he broke his neck. That's how real it looked. There was just so many spots on this at the end.
I tweeted out that I don't think that was a botch. And I know that JR.
You don't think so? And there was,
not the one where he did the backwards flip on the ropes. I don't. If you, I looked at it three times.
One.
I rewinded. He never ever slipped. It was so deliberate that people have to understand something. That these guys are professional trained athletes. I know sometimes they slip and they miss, but just as much as they can do that stuff, they can mess up on purpose. And I gotta say this because I think in this wrestling world we're a part of, that wrestling fans let wrestling legends get away with saying too much stuff, and it's crap and it's not fair. And here's what I'm gonna say right here. I believe KME would always say this back in the day. When these guys work for the WWE, they don't have nothing but positive things to say. And then when they don't work for them, they have all this negative stuff to say.
JR is just like the rest of them. He's a wrestler guy who's just like we are, who's been in the business, so he knows more than we are, and just like us, when we don't like what happens, and now he doesn't have a stake in the salary, if you will, so to speak. He can say what he wants to say, and we don't know if it's true or not, if it's bitter or is it honest. I'm sorry. I'm saying this because he had a tweet that said, when you wrestle fast, you tend to get sloppy and you don't sell. And he was referring to the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn match. And I had to completely disagree. There were certain spots in that match where, because it messed up on purpose, where it looked like Sami Zayn got hurt. And it went with the storyline. And it was one of the things that if you look how these guys wrestle with each other, he messed up. He got hurt. And Kevin Owens immediately went right after the injury. Right? They got back up on the apron. Sami Zayn overcame it. That was telling a perfect story, in my opinion.
It was a fantastic fight, Toph. I'll go ahead and let you talk about this match, because we really didn't get to talk on the chat about this match. But I thought, you know, definitely match of the night and perhaps match of the summer, maybe match of the year, guys. I don't know, because it was a fantastic fight.
The match was good, but it shouldn't have been a regular match. It should have been Falls Count Anywhere, Street Fight, no DQ, something to add finality to it. I was thinking something along the lines of that crazy match Benoit and Sullivan had
10 years ago. But
because
why.
It's a feud that's been going on for 2 years and they hate each other.
Not,
you can't have a grudge
they,
match finish in a regular match.
But you can, because that's not what they do no more. This isn't pro
they
wrestling.
Can. They just chose not to.
No, you can't. You can't.
Yes, you can.
A,
you can easily
B,
do a crazy
it's
match.
It's a B pay-per-view. It's a B pay-per-view. That the
so?
Was on the
it's called Battleground.
It's
called Battleground.
Tomato.
It's a pay-per-view that's called Battleground. You're calling it the final battle.
I think you guys asked for too much.
That's not too much, dude.
Yeah.
It's the final battle.
Not one time did they call it the final battle. I didn't hear no.
Yes, they did for the last time. We got to settle it now. We got to settle it now.
They called it Battleground. They put a bunch of names in a roulette wheel. Battleground is what they picked out. It has no meaning or significance behind it at all.
Also, if this is the final battle, why are they still in the same brand?
Yeah, it's like a
fight.
Just like
I don't know. That's again. I didn't ever hear the final battle thing, so I won't go there. However, I will say this much. Cena and Orton had how many final battles, and they were still on the same brand. I mean,
yeah.
Do you really believe they're gonna stop touching each other? That stuff is said. Again, I think wrestling fans take things too literal. There was literally outside of that 45-minute stretch between Miz, Darren Young, and in the SmackDown Women's match, this pay-per-view was flawless.
The premise of the entire feud was we have to get this out the way so we can focus on our careers. And the little package video, Kevin Owens said, you and me, one
okay.
last time. If that's not final battle, you tell
mono,
me what is.
Mono, because listen, if you have – let me let you in on a little wrestling education, right, which you probably won't admit to it, but I'm going to really school you right here, okay? If I have a match and there's all kind of objects and environmentals involved, I have a case to complain that you couldn't beat me man-to-man, one-on-one, that you had to use some kind of gimmick match to do it. And I've seen them do that before in wrestling. The only way you handle a real serious feud in wrestling has always either been a cage match, okay, I give you that one, okay, or you have a man-to-man match. I thought it gave us what we deserve to have. That was a great match. I think they did a great job. And, again, I think wrestling fans that have a certain elk who go a little bit further than just dipping into crack and like to do heroin and crack together called speedballing are just reaching too much, man. It's hashtag wrestling the storyline, and I thought the story was great from my point of view. I loved it. Not a damn thing wrong with that damn show, in my opinion. But Micah's here, and I'm running away with the show. So, Micah, you know, you always got something to say, Mr. Tuba. You know, Tuba, y'all. He plays the tuba.
I wasn't planning on saying anything. I was just going to sit here and listen.
Oh, well, you hit the one button, motherfucker duck.
Well, that's so that y'all know that I was here listening to the show. I mean,
hitting the one button when you call the bat phone means you want to talk. If you don't hit the one button to get off the line, I'm going to tell you what happened at the end of the Killing Joke, because I already got it.
Hey, you kept saying one name. Remember when everybody kept saying one, like in the early 2000s, and it died? What happened to that?
I still say it.
I would always say one, and I still do it. Believe it or not, I still. Me and my kids get a kick out of saying one, because they don't kick out at one no more unless you're Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean? So it's like that sucks. You know what I mean? And speaking about that, right? And I think Micah retweeted somebody that said Randy Orton. How can Randy Orton say something about Brock Lesnar enhancement? Again, I'm gonna say this when it comes to Randy Orton. I'm gonna say the same thing when it comes to Roman Reigns and all you haters of Roman Reigns. It has not been proven that he was suspended because of steroids or a PED. So you can have your things run wild all you want to, people. Okay, truth be told, I'm not saying they're clean or they're not clean. Okay, Randy Orton got popped. Randy Orton got popped for marijuana. He didn't get popped for steroids. Okay,
I know for a fact
he did get popped for PEDs.
The first time he got popped for marijuana, then the second time he got caught for PEDs, and the third time he got caught. Randy Orton is already a three-strike offender. How he still has a job is because they like
Randy Orton.
They made that rule for him. They made up that new rule specifically for him, like in 2013. Like, what was it called? Like a second chance program or something like that?
Yeah, they gave some kind of amendment rule. And then he was a part of that signature pharmacy list where with all those names on it.
Okay, you're right. I remember that. You got that one. But still, okay, with regards to the rest of them, okay, and again, I'm just saying this in perspective of the truth, not just like my people did to Bill Cosby. Not going to go into that, but stop proving people innocent. Stop saying that people are guilty before knowing the facts. We don't know the facts. That's all I'm saying. You can. There's plenty of things you can take over the freaking counter, okay, that can be deemed illegal. Now, with all that bullcrap I just said out the way, we do know that missing man gives people steroids, right? So, Brock Lesnar came out, but I guess they didn't want that bad PR hit. Because that would have been perfect when he said, I got somebody that has something to say to you. I just kept saying, oh, this would be really dope if Brock Lesnar would have popped out and we'd have had some kind of face-to-face or something with him and Randy Orton.
I thought they could have did that.
I thought it was going to be Paul Heyman, though.
I was waiting for Heyman.
All I know is this, man. I'm on the internet. I'm seeing all these memes about Orton. Oh, he burned Lesnar. Yeah, it's all fun and games until Lesnar goes doomsday and eats him alive.
But I love what he said was the perfect response, though. He said, I might get suplex 20 times, but all it takes is one RKO. I'm sorry, he has a point. out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? We know he's not going to beat Brock Lesnar. I mean, that's why I am one of the few people, and I'm a big fan of Brock Lesnar and what he does. I just hate how they built him. And especially now with the yo-yo that Paul Heyman is playing with wrestling fans about, what if Brock Lesnar did this? And what if Brock – if you're anything that's believing that bullshit that Paul Heyman is spitting, then this is why y'all all take it up the ass, okay? And I don't mean that in a good way, okay, because that's clearly what they're doing. As Puffy says, stroke the wall because you're being mind-fucked, okay, right now, if you think any of that stuff is true. But, again, the way they build Brock Lesnar is completely trash because you have no belief at all that anybody can beat the guy. He's beaten John Cena clean over and over, and just not just beat him, dominated him. So why do I supposed to believe that Randy Orton had any goddamn chance in hell to beat him in his match? I mean, is it going to be a match we haven't seen? Yeah, but at the same time, we know the outcome. Might as well lock that up now.
Did you guys notice how Chris Jericho though broke kayfabe when Orton said that little remark? He literally started laughing in the middle of the ring. Like I was in shock.
Yeah,
when he said that, he broke kayfabe hard.
He was shooting on Jericho too, where he said, "How would it feel like if I came back just to fight Fandango?" That was a shot at WrestleMania 29 when Jericho came back. And a matter of fact, in a podcast interview, Jericho admitted that the same amount of money he made for working Punk at 28, he worked the same amount for working Fandango. So he was throwing shade at Lesnar and Jericho. So I don't know what Orton's been doing.
Yeah.
That's probably the most entertaining promo he's done in years, because quite frankly, I mean,
I think
I'm a fan of Orton in ring,
yeah.
but that's the most entertaining he's been probably like since, I'm talking like Legend Killer, like 04, 05 days, like back when Eddie passed and he would start saying crazy stuff about Eddie. That's how long it's been since Orton has been
but
that
you know
kind
what,
of.
Right. I'll be real with you. You know why I think Orton's never been a fan, a true fan favorite? It's because his promos are boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like even
right.
him, even
right.
that, he to me, right. he needed that tonight to pull any entertainment because he's one of those guys that no, I don't get how people don't get on. You know, like everybody, oh, I'm tired of seeing him. He's done this, you know, that kind of, you know, but no one's ever really got on him about he doesn't have the greatest, you know. Things to say other than I'm gonna beat you up. He's like one of them rappers. All he can do is battle rap.
He's
a great battle rapper.
Yeah.
But can he put an album together? If you can't put an album together, your lyrics don't matter. Sorry, Cassidy. You know what I mean? But you know, if you put an album together, it doesn't matter. And that's Randy Orton to me. He's good at battle rapping, but that's it.
All right, we got 10 minutes left on the show, guys. So I want to go through this card quickly. Enzo and Kaz. And John Cena versus The Club. It went roughly about 20 minutes. Another great match, a nice little six-man tag. I just love the in-ring chemistry between AJ Styles and John Cena. I think they have great mm-hmm. in-ring chemistry. And I was telling my buddy Gerald, who came and watched the pay-per-view with me tonight, I was like, you know who really impresses me in the ring? It's Carl Anderson. That dude, you know, fights hard.
Yeah.
He has a great in-ring career. I think he could be a superstar if they push him as a singles wrestler, guys. But I love the match. Obviously, you know, it's going to culminate at SummerSlam between both factions, Enzo and Kaz and the Club, and then AJ Styles versus John Cena. But I thought it was a fantastic match, guys. Your thoughts?
It was a good match.
I'll go
very
first
entertaining.
Real fast this time. The match was great, and well, let me rephrase it. The match was good and very entertaining, like Dolph just said. But what does his Twitter read, Dolph? It's like the lightsaber of like sometimes Enzo kind of doesn't do it for me when he says things. I'd be like, it was funny, but tonight him and Cass were golden. I'm sorry, that was one of the funniest things that they've done to me. And just like the Club, they're growing them. I can't wait to see that those two rivalries become more organic, okay? Because and I was finally impressed with Enzo's ring ability. I have even in NXT, to me they're more storyline than they are in ring. You know what I mean? As far as their promos are concerned, but tonight I was impressed on both coins on the side of the field. Micah, I mean not Micah, you're not talking. KME, you didn't see it either. So back to you, Talk.
Wow.
Yeah, the match is good. And AJ said on his Twitter that the Club isn't ending. They're just taking over. So, you know, mm-hmm. AJ will be bringing the Club to SmackDown. So whether that means he'll be doing a solo rep or making his own club over there, we'll see. But, yeah, good match, good six-man tag. I enjoyed it. Just pretty fun match. And I think we all know SummerSlam, the feud will continue. We'll get AJ and Cena another match in Zone Cast against the Club again. So, yeah, good match. I don't really get any complaints here.
And then the WWE Triple Threat match, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, another great match. However, I was shocked, and I even put it on our chat, Mike. I was like, holy shit. Those were the ones, because I honestly did think that Seth Rollins was going to be the man walking out. I mean, I know, I think with the whole PEDs thing with Roman Reigns, I thought he was going to be cut, of winning the title, at least for the foreseeable future. But I never thought in a million years I was going to be Dean Ambrose walking out with a title. And you said it, Mike, or you said something along the lines, well, he's just a placeholder champion. Maybe not so.
No,
maybe they are going to roll the ball with
Dean
Ambrose.
But you know what you're going to stop doing, motherfuckers? You're going to stop bringing up old shit I say instead of the current shit I say. Okay, because the current thing I said was he
you
has
said
to win
this last week.
Relevant. So
you
right,
said this
know,
last
first
week.
Of all, no, I did not. First of all, it wasn't last week. It was 3 weeks ago with the last pay per view. I know what I say when I say when I'm saying like I'm saying it like I'm gonna say this for TV, but I'm saying it like I'm saying it right now because I'm on radio. Okay, I know what I said 3 weeks ago, but what I said today is what you're supposed to tell the people. Today is what I say. Today I said what? If I got to say you were right about Holly Holmes losing, right, about picking a match, what did I say today? The same way Vaughn Smith's pick. I said, you know what?
You said Roman.
Hashtag, I'm a date. I said, no, I did not say my son wants Roman. If you go back and read the text, okay, so do me a favor, because I've been, you know, had a little bit of the sauce, too. Put the sauce down. I said Roman should win. Then I said, nah, I'm just messing with you. I said, I'm changing my pick to hashtag
you
I'm
did.
An Ambrose guy and my son. And I said, my son says Roman. So don't tell me what I say when I'm saying like I'm saying like I'm saying it for TV, because I know what I'm saying when I'm saying like I'm saying it for radio. Back to you.
Hey, profanity is allowed, right?
Yes, she
this
is.
This is BDSI Network After Dark, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, radio. the match was good, but I was too distracted by JoJo's ass. But, yeah, good match.
No. Corey took a picture with JoJo, and I got the greatest picture that we've ever seen of her body. Matter of fact, I'm going to put it in the inbox. Wow. I am so like, give me a hall pass.
Mike, here's what you said. Here's what you said. I changed my pick. Hashtag, I'm a Dean Ambrose guy. My son says Roman. Okay, I give you that. And then you said, I want Roman, but I need SmackDown to be relevant. So hold up. So either
right.
you wanted Dean Ambrose or you wanted Roman Reigns. And
well,
then
no,
I told
no.
you,
that's
I'm like, defend
no,
yourself
no,
on the
no,
post
no,
show.
No. I'm going to put it right now because you're not going to read the text. You have to understand when you're reading text, right? You have to read it as your conversation. So reread what you said. Reread exactly what you said is what I'm saying. Reread what you said. Reread it again, please.
Hold up. I changed my pick. Hashtag, I'm a Dean Ambrose guy. Mike Dunn says Roman. Then Mike says,
right.
I want Roman, but I need SmackDown to be relevant. Okay, I give you that. Then I
right.
said, oh, hell no. No damn Roman. Defend yourself on the post-show, and I don't want to hear
uh-huh.
that crap.
Uh-huh.
And then he said,
uh-huh.
always
continue.
Roman.
Continue.
And he said, no, I'll always Roman. LOL, no defense is just saying LOL.
Right, just saying. Which means I'm just fucking with you.
Well, no one's brought
okay.
it up yet,
it's
so
like, it's,
I want to give a shout-out to Roman Reigns' Bruce Wayne
said,
beard.
First of all, his beard was awesome, okay? And it makes him look – I'm sorry, I think his beard goes with his outfit and everything like that. It goes with no broke-back intended. I know my wife was a big fan of it, and it does have the Aquaman vibe to it, more to me than the Batman vibe. But when you're reading things, people don't understand when it comes to radio, especially when it comes to a text message. It's like the Bible. If you're reading the Bible to get a scripture – then you're missing the point. The Bible has pre-text and post-text, okay? So you got to read what's in the middle to get all the text, okay? Like when Mike Knox is talking, because my name is one who is like God, who is all that I do, okay? So that's all I'm saying. And I'm a Leo, so but you know, I'm the best of all worlds.
Why?
I'm on point tonight, boy. I'm telling you, boy. I'm on point, boy. I'm killing y'all with this lyrical shit.
I think it's time for you to go to bed, man, because you got to be up in, what, like an hour or something like that?
Anyway, I got to be at work at 10:30 tomorrow.
So you got some sleep then. All right, really quick before we get out of here, Soph, what do you grade this pay-per-view, man?
I'll go ahead and give the show 8.5 out of 10. Pretty enjoyable watch.
Mike, what was it again on your belt record again? Your favorite title with the television title? How much did you get?
My favorite belt is the red television title by Arn Anderson. I give it 4.5 out of 5. I thought it was a really, really good pay-per-view all around. Hashtag wrestling is storyline. It had it all.
I'm going to give it, guys. I know I got 90 seconds, okay? You don't have to whisper on my ear. I understand that we have 90 seconds, so give me a second, all right? I want to tell them. I really, guys, I'm going to go ahead and give it. I love Bret Hart's title reign, especially when he was in the Hart Foundation. It was actually one of my favorite title reigns. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 Bret Hart, 5-time WWE Champion title reigns, because those were one of my favorites. Those were one of his best works, and everyone knows that Bret the Hitman Hart is my favorite wrestler of all time. Mike, tomorrow, I'm guessing we're talking post-Raw. I mean, excuse me, pre-Raw. And,
yes.
That's basically it. Anything else we got to
say?
We're out of here.
Hey, read a book, not just Facebook. That's what I say.
Peace. All right, guys. We're going to get out of here. Join us tomorrow for the Soul of Sports 5-7, Fox Sports 1340 AM, Hobo WHAP. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.